the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings. It makes sweet melody for the rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord. Church for worship and pray. For life's freedoms I have today. Sweet spirit I feel, this presence so real. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, for giving my soul
of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than a cliche. No other words to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my to sleep each
Please grab your Bibles. Thank you, sister. And let's stand together. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. By the way, tonight, it's not going to be tonight. It's going to be this afternoon. Our church service is at 3:45. After church, we've rented a skating ring. And so anybody that wants to go to the skating ring after church, we're going to have the whole skating ring in Lakewood, and we'll have a great time together. I enjoy watching our men fall and just have a wonderful, wonderful time. By the way, November 21st to the 23rd, we have a couples retreat, and the second law of thermodynamics goes something like this: anything left to itself goes from order to disorder. Okay, well, I don't know what happened. Everything was great on our honeymoon. Okay, you got to work at it. So I can't afford a couples retreat. It's a lot less expensive than child support. Okay, so we're going to, Brother Goddard and Mrs. Goddard will be there. We're going to have a great time. And just I'm announcing it now so you can start saving your pennies. It's going to be about like $300. We'll be in Big Bear for a couple days. And so we look forward to that. And then we have Friend Day. And Brother Myers, you pass out cards? Do we pass out cards? Okay. I have several friends are going to come. I do have one I mentioned. He's actually running. He's a Christian man. I don't know if he has a church, but he's running for mayor here in Long Beach. And he's a former professional football player. And he came knocking at my door. And just, you know, campaigning, and he said, what do you do when someone knocks at your door? I don't answer it. But I saw him, and then I saw his brochure he left on the door. I said, man, I would like to talk to him. And so I've communicated with him several times, but he'll be here. He sent me this. He said, Pastor Esposito, I'm eager to spend time with you and your congregation at Pacific Baptist Church on your November 3rd friendship service. He changed the name already. You know, politicians, they change a lot of things without you knowing about it. The friendship service. I grew up in a small Baptist church in Texas, was licensed as a Baptist minister when I was 19 years old, and served as a youth pastor and children's pastor at a Baptist church during my tenure as a student at Stanford University. I'm looking forward to getting back to my roots, worshiping and with you and hearing the preached word. I know that our time will encourage my heart and allow me to meet some of your wonderful, genuine people here in the city. God bless your friend, Damon Dunn. So he's one of my friends that are going to come. Everybody wants to have a friend on that day. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 1. Hebrews 13, verse number 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. There's angels out there. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. A lot of good material here we can comment on, but we won't, as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's Jesus. That's why we should be content. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And what is the end of the spiritual leader's conversation should be? Verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad that you have a Jesus that doesn't change? Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Father, help us as we anticipate your blessing, if you don't come back, on the Pacific Baptist Church for decades to come. And might we just, in a creative way, share with your people how that we want to stay the same, but do more for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There have been, over the last about 40 years, to the best of my knowledge, 6 different independent Baptist churches here in Long Beach. 3 no longer exist. 3 are still in existence and are strong churches. Those churches have had about 15, for sure, and maybe closer to 20 different pastors. The ones that no longer exist may have had more. I'm not sure. I don't know all their history, but of their history, it was at least 15 in the last 40 years. The longest stay of a pastor of the 6 churches was 15 years, other than ours. I've had the privilege, and God has enabled me, to have the privilege of pastoring 1 church for 25 years. And this, by the way, say, oh, are you patting yourself on the back? No, I get to do it. God has enabled me. I mean, listen, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil, and discouragement, and then there's, you know, people that kick you out of the church and all that. I've had the privilege of being from the start, from the first day, August 28th, 1988. I was 28 years old when we started. I'm not that old, okay? I was 28 years old when we started the church. And you say, wow, did you know what you were doing? Absolutely not. But I love God, and I gave it my best shot. I've asked God for 20 more healthy years as the pastor. Okay, you say, why not 25 more years? I'll take it, but let's see what happens after 20 years. I've asked the Lord for 20 more years of healthy. That would make me 73. And by the way, Dr. Hiles was still kicking at 73. Now, he had heart failure, and he died, but he was still preaching up a storm. And if I'm not able to lead and I'm not able to preach, you know, it would be time for somebody else to come in. And I think about that. And a lot of things we do is we're preparing for, you know, as Paul departed, I'm going to depart, and Brother Myers is going to depart, and there's going to be another generation. And we don't want it like in Judges that did not know the Lord. We want to have another generation that does know the Lord. By the way, I really believe this. The best is yet to come. Okay, we're just getting started in what God wants to do. Okay, this isn't us and our ambitions and our goals, but what God wants us to do. I want to share real quickly, we have have just a little time, 8 goals, and there's many more that can be shared, but 8 goals that we would like to have over the next 20 years. You say, what are they? They're sort of the same of what we've been doing. Just like Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, and we want to do the same. We just want to do more. And let me say this: 20 years from today, by God's grace, we would like to have the same emphasis on loving and glorifying a wonderful God. Just do it more. And truthfully, if you have a very good marriage, the longer you're married, the better your love should be. And the longer we walk with God, the greater our love should be. And that would be, a very worthy goal and a Christ-honoring goal, that we are obedient, loving Christians for the cause of Christ. And then I would like to say number two quickly is, 20 years from today, by God's grace, we would like to have the same type of church here in Jerusalem, just better. Okay, we're not gonna become like the world to bring the world into the church and reach them. Jesus said, "Love not God." The Bible says, "Love not the world." Okay, and that is the theme of the day in churches. You gotta become like the world, or they're not gonna come to your church. Let me say this: if not one person came to the church, we do not want to compromise what God said in His Word. Noah was left with eight people, eight, when God destroyed the earth, okay? Now, we want to reach as many people as we can here in Jerusalem, amen? But not at the cost of compromising. I talked to Dr. Hawking on a few different occasions, and when he was in Africa, by the way, let me say this, if you're going to be straight in God's word and straight with God, not everybody's going to like you. It's just not everyone's going to like you. And he's shared with me stories about persecution. Say, who persecuted him? The Christians. Okay? And we're not anti everybody else, but we need to understand that God wants us to stay the same with our doctrine, with our standard of holiness, with our music. By the way, the music was it was great this morning. And you understood the words. And we weren't all going like this in the flesh. Okay? Now, some of us, maybe tears were coming to our eyes, and that's okay. But when the music moves you and you don't even know what the words are, that's not Christ-honoring music. Okay? Well, music is all moral. No, it's not all moral. No way it's not all moral. And we're not going into that. But the standard of music in the same direction, I mentioned this before, our home church, our sending church is in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And we went back on vacation about 4 or 5 years ago. That's where my wife grew up. And we were so thrilled that after 30 years, the church is still the same. And it's not dying. There's life there. And there's soul winning there. And there's godliness there. But the church is still the same. And God willing, 20 years from now, you say, well, what about the next 20 years? Well, we're going to be passing it on to the next generation and say, you young whippersnappers, you keep this church the same. And my wife sent a letter to Pastor Angel and said, thank you for keeping the church the same. And then number three, 20 years from today, by God's grace, we would like to continue to have a multi-generational vision here in our Jerusalem, just better. So what's multi-generational vision? We want our children to serve the Lord. We want our grandchildren to serve the Lord. And let me say this, and I'll go to the next. By the way, you say, well, that's sort of standard. We ought to know that. One of my good pastor friends took a rather large church. Pastor left, and he said they had this. Former pastor had not preached on the family for 10 years. You say, why? Well, a lot of times because the pastor's family is not in order, and it's hard to preach on the family when your family's not in order. Okay? And so we are a multi-generational church, and we want to continue to be a multi-generational church and be a family church and emphasize the family. And let me say this. We're not going to apologize to encourage people to have a lot of children. Thank you for that one family that said amen. You're not a bad Christian if you only have two or three. But the sodomites can't have children. And the unsaved people are killing the children before they're ever born. Why don't the Christians just have a bunch of children and raise them up for God, we'll take this place over. By the way, that's what the Muslim people are doing. Hi, Cynthia, and I see it. I didn't even think about this. Brother Myers has 7, right? 7. I have 8. Albert has 9. Do you have 9, Kamal? He has 9 children. He only looks 24. He started having kids when he was 12. I counted this morning with us and our children, our wives, we'd have 50 people in our church. Started first day. And by the way, might our church be a little oasis right here? Okay. Well, my child, he was just wearing something, and you know, Brother Charlie again. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to keep the world out of the church. We're trying to keep the world out of the school. And you say, oh, by the way, the school and the college and the staff and the leadership should have the highest of standards. And that just trickles down to our church. Okay. Well, I think if we lowered our standards, we can have more people. Let me say this. We don't have enough room for the people we have here. And besides that, if we only had 4 people, we do not want to have a flat. Let me say this. There's a group of our people. You're wonderful people, but you want us to lower the standards a little bit so that your friends will feel comfortable here. You won't want that when their kids are polluting your children. We have enough hard time with having high biblical standards here now to let alone lower the standards so you can reach more people, and those people will pollute the whole bunch. Families. By the way, we look forward to a Pacific Baptist Church restaurant right here at Pacific Baptist. Bookstore and coffee shop. Our own gym. Okay, we have our little city here on a little hill here. And this is for God's people and reach the lost people and right here for our families. 20 years from today, by God's grace, we will have the same Jerusalem soul winning, just better. Okay, people say, well, what are you going to do when you fill up that building? We're just going to keep winning people to Christ. And by the way, Brother Ron and I, we found a little Filipino fishing area. And I don't mean a pot, or a pond, or a lake. We've never been there. It's way in the corner, way on the other side of Santa Fe, way on the earth. This is Little Manila. Brother Ray, you got to get over there. And we've gone there last week. We won a lady to Christ, and she's going to come to church. Yesterday, we won a lady to Christ, and her, and she's going to come to church. But it's soul winning. We're going to keep soul winning, and we're going to. And let me say this: soul winning is for everybody. My daughter said at the Maywood Faithfulness Rally. There's a man that goes to the Maywood Church. He's been a Christian a long time, and he's 83. George Ramirez, he's 83. And he was there at the Faithfulness Rally going out soul winning. And he said, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing this until I die. And he said, I'm just going to keep doing this. Well, you know, I'm 40. I got a bad back. I can't show up. Come on. Enough of that. Okay, enough of that. Bob back there, he said, Pastor, I want to go out with the church when they're telling people about Jesus in his wheelchair. Okay? And so we're gonna keep doing that here as a church in Jerusalem. And 20 years from today, by God's grace, we will have the same emphasis on reaching Judea and Samaria. But just better. Okay? This and many godly preachers' humble opinion is really the key to help preserve our nation. And we're gonna keep doing that. We're just gonna keep doing it. And then 20 years from today, by God's grace, we will have the same uttermost parts of the earth getting the gospel around the world, impacting especially the 1040 window. And not just the 1040 window. Dr. Hawking wants me to go to Africa with him in November or December. And I almost feel like I need to go. I think the Holy Spirit might be pushing me to go if it works out. And just to keep doing what Jesus commanded us in his word. And then 20 years from today, by God's grace, we God willing, we desire to have a church filled with godly, holy, pure, strong, gentle, Christ-honoring, wise, soul-winning men. What about us women? You women will do a lot better if we men are doing better. We have a dearth of Christian men. I had a class in Bible college. It's called Christian Manhood. We got a bunch of, I don't mean in this church, but in general, we got a bunch of Christian wimpy guys. They don't take personal responsibility. I don't know what's wrong with my wife. I'll tell you what's wrong with your wife. You need to do something to find out to get her back in on the path. I don't know what to do. Fast, pray, seek the Lord, get counsel, get help. I am committed, and I need to raise the level of commitment to say, listen, men, we are responsible for this mess out there. God has created the ladies to be our helpmeets, to be on our coattails, to encourage us and to help us, and we're blaming the women. No, we need to get our hearts right with God, get in this Bible, get some wisdom, and get the whole thing in order. Men. Our country has a dearth of men. I met with Brother Kyle, and we're talking about church planting. I said, listen, we can go plant a church over in San Pedro. Our church can do it. We can go plant a church in Southgate. We can plant churches in San Gabriel, and we can get a group of people, and we can get them saved, and we can get the money for a building. Only one thing we don't have, men. Who's going to pastor these churches? And I'm not going to go through the statistics. The percentage of men now that are willing to go in the ministry, percentage of men. Now we want to be little pretty boys, and we want to get our nice cars, and we want to get our nice iPhone 5.5s. Is that the new one, 5.5? 5S. I'm not going to ask who's got the 5S. I'm sure somebody does. Okay, and you're not a bad Christian if you got the 5S, but you ought to be more concerned about God and His Word than the next, what's coming out next. I'm still trying to figure out what do I got, 4? I'm still trying to figure that out. I'll never figure it out. People send me, did you get that pic? I don't know how to do pictures. Man, it's a phone. We're just a bunch of lips. Well, you know, what's all this? Twitters or something. And you know, what's it? What's the other ones? Google Plus, Instagram. I want to show you, if you men are showing pictures of yourself, you're a sissy. Nobody wants to see your mug. What is we turn into, a bunch of prima donnas? Well, you know, we were over Newport. We don't care if you're at Newport Beach. We have become a bunch of prima donna sissies. Well, that's what everybody else isn't doing it. A bunch of other prima donna sissies are doing it. By the way, if you're a visitor, we love you. We don't say this every week, but sometimes this is anniversary. I get to say whatever I want to say. Men. Men. By the way, men, we don't care how big your bicep is. I want to know how much you memorize in Scripture. If you spend more time on your body than you do in that Word of God, you're not a very good Christian. By the way, I believe, listen, I've got a little gut. Hey, thank you. Tony Hudson, he says, we got in our church heavy people. We got heavy people. We just call them fat. Anyway, we'll take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. I was somewhere yesterday. Oh, I know. We went out to eat, and they have now these in. We went to JCPenney's. People gave me some gift cards, and now they have these what are they called? Mannequins. These mannequins of men showing their abs. Who cares about your ab? Is that what it's called, ab? Who cares? Listen, quit getting from the world and bringing it into your home. Your boys are going to end up being little sissies. Just because they have, you know, I can see all that. Big deal. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's a bunch of the world. We need some men that know the Bible and they're strong mentally, emotionally, and spiritual. And throw away your little gym card and get in the Bible and teach your boys how to be godly young men. Is that what the point was here? We're crazy. We're crazy. The last verse in the book of Jonah. Jonah is whining about his gourd. Is it gourd? The gourd. Wasn't the gourd a tree that God brought up miraculous? He's crying about his gourd. And God says, Doc. God, we got that word from, that's in the Hebrew. Doc. What is so important about a gourd? How about those people in Nineveh? That's what should be important to you. Man, that show spoke. Our values are so warped. Girls, don't marry some pretty guy. Well, he's got nice abs. Listen, you'd better marry some fat dude that has a heart for God that's responsible than some guy that has nice abs. So what are you saying? I'm saying that's my last point. I got a little extra time on that one. How about let's raise up some men of God in this church that know God and walk with God and pray to God, and they'll come home and instead of saying, well, look at my abs, say, let's look at the Bible. By the way, what you do in moderation, your children are going to do in excess. God won't be important if your abs are so important. You say, what's the whole thing about abs? I saw that picture. I'm like, man, I can see. Our people, don't hang out at the mall. That mall is so filled with the world. You come back, man, you're so infected with that stuff. Listen, I came back. I want to change my abs. I can't see my abs. There's something over my abs. Like, are there those muscles really under there? Man, if I go to that mall 3 times, forget it, man. I'm going to say, well, you know, I don't think we need to start another church plant. I think we need a gym in the church. We don't need a gym in the church. We'll have maybe a workout place over there. That's not the priority. The priority is loving God and obeying God and winning lost souls and having godly things. But men, it starts with you. You girls, you are duped. If I want my husband to have white teeth, big biceps, nice abs, you are duped. And if you have children, your children are duped. Your priorities are warped. The thing, that is not important. Taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit is important. That is not taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. That is vain. That is vanity. God says beauty is vain and vanity. You say, what are you doing? I'm giving an excuse for all of us fat people to just keep serving God. Amen. We have a weak nation because we have weak communities. We have weak communities because we have weak churches. We have weak churches because we have weak families. We have weak families because we have weak men. And really, we have weak men because the men aren't being taught. I taught you a little bit this morning, men. Okay? Quit complaining about your wife. You are the leader. You go home and you find out how to keep her happy. You go home and you find out how to help her to serve the Lord. And you go home and, well, you know, my wife, you married her. She didn't give you a ring. You gave her a ring. You asked her to marry you. Well, I didn't know what I was doing. Well, just join the crowd. Take some responsibility for a mistake that you made. That is our responsibility to keep our wives happy, to help our wives to serve the Lord. And it's the men's responsibility. By the way, it's the men's responsibility to have a godly culture in the church. We love you, ladies, but you ain't going to run this church. Well, I just won't come here anymore. The happiest ladies in the world are where men lead their homes and men lead the church and men lead the culture. I don't want to start talking about country. There's some countries the women are running. It's just this. I couldn't go there on vacation if you paid me. Third Molino, I've used this before. Third Molino, we we were going to buy that building. It's now a, I think it's now a Buddhist temple. Buddhist temple. It died. The church died. We bought the Pacific building. It died. I mentioned before, I don't know where it was, in the attic. I don't know if you ever saw them, Brother Myers. There were drawings. They were going to build a new building. It died. And then we bought the building. This property here, the brethren people, I'm sure they were good people. It died, and this building became vacant. We went to Monterey Park, and we rented a building, the old Methodist people. It died. Now we're renting a building in Maywood, a Lutheran church. It died. By the way, if Jesus comes back, this is going to die. But might we do all that we can to say by the grace of God, as Jesus said, the same yesterday. Listen, if we stay the same and do a little better, and by the way, there's a difference in contentment and being satisfied. Yeah. Be content, but never satisfied. Okay? Be content. Be content with your marriage, but keep growing. Go to that couple's retreat. Brother Suter's going to be here. He's going to have we're going to have a conference, and he's going to preach on marriage. But this church doesn't have to die. Might God give us a great future. Yes, sir. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, and let's stand together, heads bowed.